Good morning, everyone. I call the committee hearing on economic development to order. I acknowledge that we do have a quorum. Thanks for being here, everyone. There is, you know, some issue with the minutes, so we won't move the minutes. We'll fix that and then move it next time. And I have House File 318 up, so I will give the gavel to my vice chair, and she will be the chair for the rest, the remainder of the time. Thank you. Oh, by the way, I brought chocolate. It's my birthday, so everybody take the chocolate.
Happy birthday.
Give them one. Yeah. Okay, come up it's your so you get candy.
Thank you, committee members, and happy birthday, Chair Hassan. It's an honor to chair for you on this day. So, Rep. Hassan moves that House File 318 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Rep. Hassan, please go ahead and explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Today we have House File 318, which would establish a new program at the Department of Deed called the Community Wealth Grant Program. I was reading a report this morning that I'm going to send to the committee after our hearing today, and it talked about states that are progressing well when it comes to racial equity, and Minnesota happens to be number 48. That's heartbreaking. For many folks, Minnesota does not have a specific program that supports shared ownership business model, including cooperative employee-owned businesses, commercial land trusts. By creating this program dedicated to supporting this types of businesses, Minnesota can provide the option for some of our state's looming economic questions, for example, wealth building opportunities for BIPOC households and communities, provide a path for baby boomers to sell businesses to their employees, and longevity of small businesses for stable jobs and meet the community's needs. With that, I have a testifier with me, and we will stand testifiers, multiple testifiers, and then we'll stand for questions.
Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead with your testimony.
Hanson and members of the committee, my name is Elena Gorder. I'm the Chief Executive Officer with the Metropolitan Consortium of Community Developers. We are a 50-member consortium of primarily, well, exclusively nonprofit affordable housing developers and groups that do economic development and small business development across the state of Minnesota. Our advocacy efforts are largely focused on promoting existing programs that the state has, but on occasion we identify gaps in programs, and so that's why we're before you today to talk about this community wealth building program. So the program that is established through House File 318 would target resources to help entrepreneurs and businesses owned by immigrants, women, BIPOC folks, veterans, people with disabilities, and other marginalized groups. It provides an opportunity for us to, I think, begin to spread the word around why shared ownership works, right? And so I'll talk a little bit about the why first. Right now in the state, there's about 52,000 businesses that are owned by baby boomers. And 85% of those folks do not have a plan for what they're going to do with their business. So nationally and locally, there is a movement around transitioning those businesses to worker cooperatives. There's research that shows that if 30% of all the businesses were owned by its workers, that black wealth would go from 24,000 a year to over 100,000 Think about that, right? That's a game changer. And for the 20% of the bottom 20% of income earners, that their wealth would quadruple, right? And so these are proven models that have been used locally and nationally. And we think that if Deed created a program that focused specifically to have resources for these, that we could really make a dent in the racial and economic disparities in the state. One of the other things that you'll see nationally is work in the home care sector, right? So we know that in home care, workers are underpaid. We see a huge turnover rate, right? 32%, I think there's like an 82% turnover rate for people that do work in home care. And throughout the state, there are waiting lists for every single waiver service that we have. And so nationally, worker co-ops in the home care sector have only an 82% turnover rate, and they typically pay around $2 more an hour, right? So this program would help to put resources in the hands of businesses that want to explore the cooperative model and the employee-owned cooperative model. We see that the price of real estate continues to climb, and the speculative market results in local properties being owned by equity firms outside of the area, which weakens our small business sector. So a commercial land trust model, which is also included in this bill, takes that land off the speculative market and holds it in a trust so that the businesses that then rent or own that the building on that have affordable space in perpetuity, which, I mean, results in the greater longevity of businesses. So this program also supports commercial land trusts as well. The way that it would work is, so you guys know that Deed doesn't directly work with small businesses. So this program would be administered by community development financial institutions like MCCD. I think I forgot to mention that before. We're also a CDFI. They would select grantees on a five-year cycle, similar to the Emerging Entrepreneur Loan Program. And it could be used to cover the startup costs or conversion costs for those businesses that would be transitioning to employee ownership. The organizations, the CDFIs, would retain 50% of the principal payment, repayment, and the other money would go back to Deed, so it could be a revolving loan fund. The folks doing the program, administering the program, would also provide specialized technical assistance. There's a growing group of organizations in the sector that know how to do this specialized technical assistance, and so that would be provided in conjunction with the loan funds. And then the repayment portion that the CDFIs would keep would be used to cover some of that TA servicing the loans and ongoing future technical assistance. So the financial resources through the community wealth building program really have the potential to change the landscape of small business ownership in the state, and more importantly, to reduce the racial disparities that we see in business ownership. So thank you, Vice Chair, and thank you, Hassan, for authoring this legislation. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Elena. And we have another testifier, Micaiah Griffin. Thank you, and you can proceed.
I get a little comfortable here. Good morning. Vice Chair Hansen, members of the committee. My name is Micaiah Griffin, and I'm the executive director of Rondo Community Land Trust. We're located in the historic Rondo neighborhood of St. Paul. Rondo Community Land Trust was founded in 1993 in response to the community's want and need to find a way to preserve housing in the community. And the Community Land Trust model was landed upon by the community, and we have been going strong since then. We became the first land trust in the state of Minnesota in 1993. And we currently not only serve the Rondo community, but we serve all of St. Paul and Ramsey County. Toronto Communities Land Trust mission is to strengthen and preserve communities by providing and advocating for permanently affordable housing for families and individuals with low to moderate incomes, to promote the utilization of the Community Land Trust model as a method to preserving permanently affordable housing and economic growth and neighborhood stabilization, and to support and celebrate cultural diversity by providing affordable business opportunities to increase community economic wealth and to increase property values and to also increase jobs. Besides the affordable housing and homeownership work, which we do, one of the most pressing issues in the community is how small minority-owned businesses can afford commercial space when rapidly rising rents and speculative real estate development threatens to displace them. It is unsettling for those of us who care about ensuring that local business owners are not displaced after they've made investments in the communities. Based on the concepts underlying the Community Land Trust model, Rondo CLT has created a new model for long-term affordable commercial spaces. Quite recently, we also became the first commercial land trust in the state of Minnesota in 2019 when we finished a development on Selby Avenue. And along with our partner Trellis Co., we developed two mixed-use commercial and residential businesses. These buildings provide 9,300 square feet of commercial space and 34 units of senior housing. Right now, one of our anchor tenants, Golden Time, it's not just a business, it's also a community anchor in the community. It is a place where community goes, where people go to understand and get stories told and to meet and to enjoy the neighborhood. It also provides job opportunities, not only in the community, but those 34 units that are above the restaurant, we have seniors subsidizing their income by working at Golden Time. So they just kind of get to roll out of bed and go downstairs. I don't think they come in pajamas. I haven't seen that yet. Roll out of bed and go downstairs, and they're working in the community. You know, what this looks like in a whole for what Rondo Community Land Trust does, not only in home ownership, but also in providing economic development opportunities for community, is we've had a young single mother who purchased a home with Rondo Community Land Trust, provided stability for herself and her children. She went back to school, got her PhD, and now she runs a Black-owned therapy practice out of our building. She subsequently sold her property, moved to the regular real estate market, and now another young family lives in that house. You know, we get to share in that and pay that forward, why we actually hold land in trust for the community and for the community's benefit. And we are really excited and proud about all the work that we get to do. The funding and technical assistance provided by House File 318 would help Rondo Community Land Trust expand our work and preserve and create permanently affordable commercial space for communities, for minority-owned businesses, you know, not only in the Rondo community, but all of Ramsey County. Thank you, Chair Hassan, for carrying this bill and for the opportunity to testify today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Next up, we have Letitia Bradley. Thank you so much. You can proceed when you're ready.
Good morning, Vice Chair Hansen and members of the committee. My name is Letitia Bradley, and I am the owner of TBZ Customs Boutique, a small business dedicated to providing custom jackets and shoes. We are also a boutique and will carry women and plus size fashions, accessories, and green products. I was born and raised in the Rondo neighborhood community my entire life. I attended St. Paul Public Schools, and I graduated from St. Paul Central High School in 1990. I worked a couple of child care industry jobs for several years after high school until I was introduced to the property management industry in 1995. I always knew as a teenager I wanted to be my own CEO and seeking to open a business in the community I was born and raised in. I started this business to create fun, fashion, career opportunities for people in the Rondo community, as well as to provide memorable shopping experiences, not transactions. I chose to have my business in the Rondo community because that's where I resided all my life, and I am well known in the community. I also want others from the community to see that no matter the barriers, you can achieve anything you put your mind and heart to. Working with Rondo Community Land Trust and MCCD has been one of the greatest experiences I've endured. The director of Rondo Community recommended that I participate in the Jazz Fest, which took place September 15th, 2022, and TB's Customs Boutique made a 4K profit in this event. A couple of weeks later, I was connected to MCCD, in which they qualified me for funding to open a brick and mortar located at 854 Selby Avenue. I'm here today in support of House File 318 because the more the state can do to support commercial land trusts, the more you can help black-owned businesses like mine. Thank you all for the opportunity to testify today, and thank you to Rep. Hassan for carrying this bill.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Do we have any public testifiers who wish to speak on this bill? Seeing none, members, I'll turn it over to you for questions. Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just laughing because maybe your members have some questions too. We do have a few. Thank you. I appreciate hearing the bill, Chair Hassan. First question is does Deed have a position on this bill, or I don't really, no position? Or I guess I do. They are in the background. They have no position. Okay, we can circle back with that later. But there was, it's an interesting concept. I'm not super familiar with it, but we did have a little bit of discussion in my office with that. Can you maybe clarify and go into a little bit more detail how the repayment 50% goes to the CDFI and 50% goes back to Deed? I think that's my understanding. And how do those repayment assets accumulate for the CDFIs and then reuse?
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm going to let Harry Johnson take that.
Thank you. If you could introduce yourself, please. Thank you.
Vice Chair Hansen, my name is Carrie Johnson. I'm Policy Director at MCCD. Representative Kosnick, so the how it would work is because there is lots of ongoing technical assistance for these types of shared ownership businesses, that part of the repayment would go back into helping to keep these businesses, you know, going, especially in the first couple of years is when it's critical to make sure they have that ongoing technical assistance. After that, the long-term success and longevity of those types of businesses is much more likely to succeed. And so that's why we wrote it in that way. And then we wanted to, you know, make sure that this was partially a revolving loan fund so that this, you know, the fund at Deed could continue to support these types of businesses ongoing as well.
Representative Kosnick.
Yeah. Is there kind of an amortization schedule or projection of how the funds would accumulate and then be redistributed in the revolving loan fund? That's kind of what my kind of question is, you know, how much, you know, I know we're talking about $15 million off the bat to kind of the ongoing money, and half of it would be retained by the authorizing grantor. Is that right? If I'm saying that right?
Carrie.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hansen and Representative Kosnick. So, I don't know if I have all the details for that. I'm happy to talk with you more in depth and work with Deed to kind of come up with those numbers. As with other programs that Deed operates, the principal repayment can be retained by the organizations that do the work for Deed and on behalf of the government. And so that is kind of why we wrote it in there.
Any further questions, Representative?
I appreciate the answer, and I know we don't have a fiscal note now. That comes after we have the hearing, or when do we normally get a fiscal note on
Madam
a
Chair,
bill?
We're laying it over.
Representative Kosnick, we will be laying this over. Ken Savory, if you would like to comment.
Chair and members, the bill contains specific appropriations. It would be unlikely the fiscal note would return different numbers than those. The bill simply includes instruction to Deed in terms of the number of dollars allocated for this appropriation.
Thank you, Mr. Savory. Any further questions, Representative Kosnick?
That's a very helpful explanation, and it is kind of, the dollars are kind of obvious in there, but I was perhaps hoping that we could get a little bit more of that, but we can follow up with that. I don't know if any of my other members have questions or committee.
Thank you, Representative Koznick. Representative Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So my question is, you know, is, and it's not outlined in the bill, you know, whenever you purchase or transition a business, there's always risk that you take on and lenders. And I do think the program's accomplishing a good goal there. But what happens if the business, you know, sadly fails due to outside market influences, you know, whether it be inflation, recessions, what happens to Deed in this thing and the lenders and the person who owns this business? Because I don't want to see them on the hook for thousands of dollars with no profitable business either.
Sure. Representative Hassan or Kerry, would you care to answer that? Or any other testifiers?
So that seems like it's a two-part question, right? So what happens to the deed funding in other deed-funded programs like the Emerging Entrepreneur Loan Fund if the businesses default on those loans? Then because MCCD is using state funds to do that, then, you know, I think we take a shared hit, right? One of the things that we pride ourselves on is the technical assistance that we provide, and I think that that's why it's key that some of those funds can be used to cover those costs. So, like, for I think all CDFIs are different in terms of what their default rates are. Ours are less than 2%, and I think we attribute that to the ongoing one-on-one technical assistance that we provide. I mean, you know, it's a we don't have a crystal ball, and so it's hard to determine if businesses are going to succeed. What we do know, and especially in the ESOP space, the employee stock option space, which is a form of employee ownership, that ESOP businesses and other employee-owned businesses do have a slightly higher success rate than sole proprietor-owned businesses.
Thank you. Any further questions, Representative Igo?
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, I just kind of want to hear that, you know, there's groups like yours around the state, and I think it's just critically important that, you know, if we're going to pass legislation like this, that we utilize those community groups because, you know, we have some great ones up in the Northeast that I represent, and we need to make sure that those investments we're making create that generational wealth and what the bill is trying to do. So thank you.
Thank you. Could I answer the question about the amortization? And maybe I'm not answering it, like, you know, 100%, and we can follow up with you on it. But I think typically the loans that we write are 7-year terms. And so those repayments would be happening over, that's the typical term that we use.
Thank you, Elena. That's helpful. Another question, Representative Koznick?
To that topic, Madam Chair, thank you. Amortization is more of a loan term. I have a banking background, mm-hmm. So it's probably not the right term for how we build the assets and the repayment.
Okay.
You know, so I understand the specific loan, but that's good to know, a 7-year term. But we can circle back off that a little bit. But I did have a question if other members don't. And I don't know if
we'll move it to one other member, and then we can come back to you, yeah. Representative Koznick, if that's okay. Representative Feist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to thank Chair Hassan for bringing this important bill. I've been thinking back to when I started my law firm 12 years ago. At the time, I was losing money. I was in that phase of life where you're paying for daycare, and so you just keep going backwards. And so we did not have any savings. We were losing money every month, but my father was able to help me to be able to step out on my own, start my own law firm. And without having that generational wealth, like my father was a business owner. He had his pharmacy that my grandfather started. So like it's just like this really wonderful story of like generation supporting entrepreneurial enterprises. And I just think that legislation like this is really going to make sure that people who don't have like grandparents who are entrepreneurs are also able to achieve their dreams and start businesses that are just going to enrich our state. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Feist. Representative Hassan, did you have a comment?
No.
Okay. Representative Koznick.
Well, thanks. There was a question about, there's another bill, and I don't know that it's completely related, but there's another bill in the legislature prohibiting corporations from kind of having partnerships and more, and prohibiting corporate ownership of single-family homes used for rental property. Does that impact the cooperative land trust for the commercial that you're kind of doing?
Elena or Representative Hassan?
I don't think so.
I would, no.
I would let Elena.
Yeah, it would not.
I kind of didn't think so, because the properties that you're looking to lend on would be probably commercial, or are they going to be single family kind of out of your homes, or converting single family?
This bill specifically is talking about. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Go ahead, Elena.
I didn't do it either, so sorry about that.
Hey, we're all getting used to it, right?
This bill specifically is talking about commercial and business ownership, not housing.
Thank you, Lena. Representative Kosnick?
Okay, that's what I thought. Somebody had a question on that. So, you know, I appreciate the intent. I don't, I would like to say if the chair doesn't, I know, and I'm unfortunately can't make it this Friday, here at the Capitol, they're celebrating black-owned businesses, mm-hmm. and I hope some of the testifiers, they're nodding their head, will be here to celebrate and talk to lawmakers. If anybody that's there, I'd be happy to talk to them. My schedule requires me to be in my district this Friday, but happy to learn more about the different businesses, and hopefully through this committee we can continue to do some more support. And this bill goes towards that. I don't know how comprehensive this bill will get down the final road here, but I appreciate the discussion and the introduction of the bill, Chair Hassan.
Thank you, Representative Kosnick, and I do hope folks can join us for that on Friday. It will be a very exciting and insightful event and an opportunity to talk to a lot of people, so I would encourage people to attend if they are able and not in their districts. Representative Kozlowski.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hansen. And Representative Hassan, I want to also, it's no surprise, I'm going to chime in and say thank you so much for bringing this forward. For communities that I serve, that I am a member of, as well as across the state, I also want to say thank you to our testifiers. These spaces were not made for us and, in fact, made to exclude us. And as somebody who holds a Master of Business Administration, we are not the people that are seen in a strengths-based way. And the ones up here, when we are shown, is so often to in a negative way. And so when we have black-owned businesses of color that are good for our community, are good for our communities, our economy, that's good for Minnesota. So thank you. You know, in my neck of the woods, we've really been excited and dug in with our chambers, with our city, our county, so many partners, our businesses. What we've heard from our entrepreneurs of color is that, you know, what it is you're proposing is so much of the gap where we really need to get in there. And we need to illuminate and tackle and address that across technical assistance. The financial capital is so important. One of the things, and I know I talked with your organization that I'm especially excited about, is that we heard over and over and over again that it's the social capital aspect. Mm-hmm. That what we've seen is spaces might come open, and even if you have the money, you're ready to go, you've gone through all the barriers, there is a whole social network that we ain't in, mm-hmm. and we're not getting access to those spaces. And so then we're relegated to go and rent at high places with rent and insurance. And in fact, we're seeing this in Duluth, I can tell you. Mm-hmm. The cooperative, our black community is working, and this is good, and our community here stands by ready to support and our anchor institutions, right? So my question is, our understanding that there's so many aspects that we need to tackle, the peer-to-peer, the mentoring, social capital, technical assistance, what type of resources are the co-ops going to be eligible to access? You know, are they going to be able to be eligible for emerging entrepreneur funds and other deed programs as well to really, you know, fill in and support and nurture as these co-ops are trying to take hold?
Great. Elena.
Vice Chair Hansen. So there's a number of different programs that with deed that can benefit the entrepreneurs throughout the state, including up in your area. The Deed Small Business Partnership Grant Program provides funding for organizations like mine and like the Entrepreneur Fund up in Duluth to provide that one-on-one technical assistance. And so that I believe there's 37 organizations across the state that currently partner with Deed on that. The federal small business credit initiative funds that the state received, there's a guaranteed loan program. And so some organizations, lending agencies that may be wanting to do riskier, riskier deals. I say that because oftentimes when we're in black and brown communities, we talk about, we say risk because they're black and brown businesses. So the guaranteed loan program would be available if the to be aligned so that a guaranteed loan program mitigates the risk for organizations like mine to be able to do riskier capital. So those things could be aligned. There's the Emerging Entrepreneur Loan Program. We also have a number of different funds that are available. Every CDFI is different, but we received, and many groups across the state received some funds through the U.S. Treasury a couple of years ago that came to us essentially in the form of a grant. So we were able to do really low-cost capital for this project in North Minneapolis that blends a commercial land trust, and then the buildings are owned by a real estate investment cooperative, and then there's two black-owned businesses that rent from that cooperative. So really being able to stack not only various community wealth building models, but then stack different forms of financing to really be able to do deep community wealth building.
Thank you. That's a great answer to really elaborate on the options that are available to all of the businesses. Representative Kozlowski, any other questions?
No, I'll just add that, I'm really struck by if we invest in these models that 30% of U.S. businesses, if they were worker-owned, the median wealth of black households would increase from 24,000 to 106,000. Mm-hmm. And so that's a force multiplier. Thank you.
I would agree, Representative Kozlowski. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for bringing this. This is not working, is it? Oh, it is. Oh, great. Okay. I just need to speak louder. I just want to say a piece here as someone who owned a business who was interested in changing models to a more employee-led model, just to say from personal experience that that is a lot of work, and it is a tremendous undertaking, that even that initial step, our economy in so many ways is built around profit as king, and that's how we're, mm-hmm. our traditional, even single-owned LLCs are structured that particular way. This is a great model we know works, and so I'm glad we're working towards figuring out ways to help people who don't have a ton of resources, mm-hmm. Be able to access these models, because it is a lot of work. So I guess it was mostly a comment, but also a follow-up question on just kind of boots on the ground. Someone has an idea for a shop, like we heard from shop owners today, and they want to start out from a viewpoint of being employee-owned. How does your, from just that basic idea, how does your organization and this grant in particular work with those people? Because sometimes it's a group of people, and that makes it easier. Sometimes it's just one person who has a dream. And it's normally very, very difficult. So maybe even just for people who are watching this or, post your response later, but what would you say to those people who want to do these new models, mm-hmm. but, it's intimidating to start a business in any sense, let alone one that is economically, brimming with justice. So what would you say to that?
Elena. Chair Hansen, Representative Smith. Cooperatives are, they're businesses. Right. And so, if somebody has an entrepreneurial spirit, there are, 37 organizations across the state that they can connect to that provide that one-on-one technical assistance. Cooperatives typically take a bit longer to start because, you are working with people and you have to figure out how to cooperate. Sometimes it's difficult just to get a family meal put together without an argument. Right. So I would say that, connect with organizations that are doing small business development, connect with people that have expertise in the cooperative development sector, and those groups are out there across the state. I think in terms of, you said that you were interested in taking a business into a more employee-owned model, converting to employee ownership could take, you know, it could take 9 months, it could take 18 months. It requires valuation, you know, just as a typical sale. But there are groups that do that work across the state, including my own, Cooperative Development Services. They work statewide. So there are resources available. And so maybe that's just the message, like, just go for it, just try it, and come and talk to those that have been working in the space.
Thank you, Elena. Any other member questions? I'll just add, if there's no others. Oh, was comments there any?
Still, do you still have comments? No.
No, I don't
know. Okay. Okay. I'll just add that I live in a community that is very small business oriented, and so the work that MCCD and programs like this will provide in my community are going to just be fabulous, and I'm really looking forward to this. We are a thriving and diverse community, and just all the opportunities we can give to folks makes a difference for everybody there. So thank you so much, Rep. Hassan, for carrying this. Thank you, MCCD, and the business owners and folks who have come forward. It's really important when we have these types of bills that people who have seen the benefits of it come forward and tell their stories. We know that storytelling is how we really change the world and make more opportunities available to more people. So thank you so much again for being here today. Representative Hassan, I will turn it back to you for final comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for the wonderful questions and conversation about this bill. We're going to lay the bill over, so we'll have more time to have conversation. Minority Lead Kosnick, I'm willing to have more conversation with you about whatever concerns that you have or your side of the aisle has. I represent a district that is very diverse and has an entrepreneurship spirit that's skyrocketing. I represent Lake Street. So if you walk around Lake Street, I could get my coffee from somebody who's from, you know, Columbia, and get my, you know, next door tea, somebody from, you know, Somalia, and next door I could go to, you know, you name it. It's a very diverse community that loves the idea of entrepreneurship. So when we all just got elected, right? We all spent all of our summers door knocking and talking to voters. When I was talking to, you know, my district, people would say, like, our businesses are struggling. We need access to capital. And, you know, the idea of more loans wasn't very, you know, welcoming. They would say, I don't want to pay another loan. I would love to get some support. And these people are not people who are just telling us, you know, give us hand-me-downs. They're saying, give us a little bit of boost and support so we can, you know, thrive. And the other thing that happened in 2020 when George Floyd was killed and that civil unrest happened was that we all rushed to help, right? The state wanted to help, you know, city wanted to help, county wanted to help. Then come to find out that many of the businesses on Lake Street don't even own their buildings. So if the building owner did not want to build, good luck to you. You're not coming back to that building. Then the building can stay vacant. So that was a struggle. So for me coming to this committee as a chair, my intent was that I'm going to help these businesses in any possible way, and we're going to think outside of the box, because business, doing things as usual and business as usual is not working for these families. And people in my district and across the state, because Rep. Koslowski was talking about people in Duluth, and Rep. Igo was talking about, you know, people in his district. So this isn't like a thing that is, you know, one specific area. Small businesses are struggling, and we need to help every way we can. So thank you for your support.
Thank you, Chair Hassan. It's just such an honor to be in this committee and be led by you and to follow your leadership on this issue, because we've all heard that this is a really important topic, and so I'm looking forward. I can't say I have a favorite bill this year, but this is one of them. So Representative Hassan renews her motion that House File 318 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Are there any further questions or comments from the committee? Seeing none, we'll get some time back in our day today, and we are adjourned.